Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Today we celebrate Thanksgiving. What's the real story behind the holiday? Let's go in depth with Kathleen Wall with the Plymouth Plantation, Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Well, Kathleen, what do you do at the Plymouth Plantation?
I'm Plymouth Plantation's Colonial Foodways Culinarian. So I do a lot of the research and information seeking about all the things related to food, particularly on the colonial side of our program.
So you're the person to talk to about the first Thanksgiving, aren't you?
Yeah, that's actually spokesmodel for the first Thanksgiving is like, you know, other duties as assigned, part of my job description.
Well, it sounds like a fun job.
It is a fun job.
Well, and this is going to air on Thanksgiving Day, so our listeners are going to be thinking about Thanksgiving. Can you tell us a little bit about the first Thanksgiving?
Well, the first Thanksgiving, I like to say, 1621 is actually chapter two. The Thanksgiving is kind of a complicated thing. There are lots of different holidays, Thanksgivings, but Thanksgiving's not a national holiday until the 19th century, until the 1800s. And they sort of go back and claim the harvest celebration of 1621 as sort of their antecedent. So it kind of gets added on later on. In 1621, their harvest being gotten in, they sent some men a-fowling so they could celebrate a good harvest. And there were 50 people left out of the 100 people who came on the Mayflower, and their harvest was corn. And there's wildfowl, and then Massasoit, who is the sachem of the nearby men of Poconokic, the Wampanoag native people, comes with 90 of his men, and then he brings 5 deer, and they all stay together for 3 days.
Just the men?
Well, see, that's the part they don't tell us. So it sounds like it could be a political event where the men are gathering. There aren't that many women in the town. They talk about exercising their arms, which means they shoot at targets. But we don't have a lot of details. There are 2 short paragraphs in all of the things that they write describing this event. So a lot of what we know about Thanksgiving was sort of invented long afterwards by other people.
So you're just crushing myths?
I'm sorry. Yes, crushing myths. Yes. Well, turkey wasn't the only bird on the table. So,
But there probably were turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
2 paragraphs. We built this whole holiday around 2 paragraphs?
Well, it actually, the pilgrims became sort of a popular topic in the 19th century. After the Revolutionary War, America was looking to invent a good beginning. It needed a good creation story. And Plymouth Rock was actually the story for a long time. And thanks to a couple of people, one of them is Sarah Josepha Hale, the editor of Godey's Lady's Book, and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote The Courtship of Miles Standish. Suddenly you have people from Plymouth Colony who are very romantic, and so whatever they did in 1621 had to be the start of it all and just had to be marvelous.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had to be just like us, only dressed in funny clothes. So there have been lots of layers added to the myth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's important as a nation builds its identity, you have to do that, don't you?
Well, and there's certainly that. And, I think we think of Thanksgiving, and in the 19th century, days of Thanksgiving were homecomings. People came home. People who had moved away to work in factories would come back. People who had moved to the western frontier, which might only be Ohio, would come back to New England to visit. And so for us, it's very much family coming together. But in 1621, this is a group of people, many of whom didn't know each other a year earlier, who had traveled together, had endured incredible circumstances together, but had never celebrated together. And so what they might each emotionally want to put on the table is going to be very different from each other. They didn't have that commonality. I can just say turkey and cranberry sauce, and everybody knows what that means, even if it's going to be a little bit different. But you know, you can't do Thanksgiving without turkey and cranberry sauce.
Well, no, of course not. No, you can't do that, even though at the first Thanksgiving they may not have had that. They probably didn't have the cranberry sauce, did they?
They didn't have cranberry sauce like we have it. It certainly didn't come in a can. And I live in the middle of cranberry country, and I support and endorse cranberries, and we should all eat more of them. But in 1621, first of all, the celebration was probably somewhere between mid-September and mid-October, because that's when the corn gets harvested, not in November. And there aren't a lot of cranberries available. There aren't the huge industrial bogs that you see now. Wild cranberries grow in little places, and you have to go and gather them up. And if there are lots of grapes or beech plums available, you're more likely to look for those.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Thanksgiving with Kathleen Wall with the Plymouth Plantation.
Well, certainly, though they may have had turkey at the first Thanksgiving.
Turkeys are abundant in the country. William Bradford writes about turkeys being fat and sweet in the paragraph just before he talks about the harvest coming in. So they're not directly linked to that table, but I find it highly unlikely that there weren't at least a few of them there over the 3 days.
Well, it sounds like not exactly a feast if all there were corn and deer and maybe a turkey.
Well,
sounds
that's
like
all they record.
That's all they record.
That's the difference. They also say it lasted for 3 days.
So they had to eat over 3 days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what they recorded is what they thought was of significance, the men shooting their guns. And so maybe what the women were doing wasn't seen as important to record?
Well, I think the whole event was just they were celebrating their harvest. And just to say that was enough, they're sending these are being recorded for people back in England to encourage them to come. So there are other places in these letters and in these accounts about all of the bounty that's in the country. So that their harvest was in and that it was a good harvest, that, you know, 50 people could plant 20 acres of corn, and they're planting this by hand. They're planting all of this with a hoe, and they reckoned their harvest to be a peck a meal a week for each of them, which could be a harvest of close to 30 bushels to the acre. It's never certain in the 17th century if women and children are included as people. You have to sort of reckon that. But it's mostly men who are living there. That's a lot of corn. That's a lot of bread for them. That's a lot of porridge for them. That's an incredibly good yield. That's going to be a selling point for farmers back in England to come to New England.
So Thanksgiving from the beginning was an effort at economic development and trying to get people to immigrate, huh?
Well, they're part of a joint stockholders company, and they had come as shareholders in the company. If you're over 16 and you come, your work is your investment in the company. And at the end of 7 years, the shares are all divided up. And that's when you get possibly money, but more specifically for the people who come over, you get land. And if you have land, you always have work. And if you have work, you never go hungry. So this is a good deal.
Wow, and they wanted more people to come over.
So they wanted more people to come over. It's a lot of work. You need more people. They had 50 people to build houses. In the course of 1 year, those 50 people tended 20 acres of corn by hand. They went fishing. They built 9 houses all by hand, going into the woods and felling the trees and carrying them back on their backs. All of this is just done by human person power. And they also had done some negotiating and trading with local native people. So they did an incredible amount of work in the course of 1 year, but they needed more people there.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Thanksgiving with Kathleen Wall with the Plymouth Plantation.
And so what you're telling me is that it was in the 1800s, a woman in New England and Longfellow that really created the image that sustains us today?
I think they had a lot to do with it. Days of Thanksgiving were proclaimed by individual governors throughout the early colonial period and continued to do so, especially New England governors. We're in a habit of declaring Thanksgiving if something good happened, but also in the fall. And this was becoming more customary. And Sarah Josepha Hale felt that that should be a national holiday. So she started sending letters to, in the end, 13 different presidents, ending with President Lincoln, who finally declared a national day of Thanksgiving. She wanted it to be a national holiday for the entire nation to put some time aside and to gather together and to be thankful. Up until then, up until the Civil War, there were only two national holidays. There was the 4th of July, Independence Day, naturally, the first holiday, and the second holiday was George Washington's birthday.
Well, and so how do you celebrate, with all this knowledge, how do you celebrate Thanksgiving, and what do you take from it?
Oh, well, I celebrate Thanksgiving by working, so because we're open and we're very busy at Plymouth Plantation on Thanksgiving Day. So I celebrate with people who we do some potluck food, and different people bring things that are important to them, part of their Thanksgiving table. My mother is from Italy, so I grew up with a Thanksgiving that included the conundrum, if you have turkey and stuffing and potatoes, where do you put the lasagna? Is the pasta served first, or is the pasta served second? But there was no doubt that pasta would be served. So I was really surprised to find out that other people didn't necessarily have lasagna as part of their Thanksgiving feast.
Well, if you're working at the plantation on Thanksgiving Day, people come with expectations. They're expecting,
They
expect turkeys and cranberries and dressing and everything. Do you give them that? Do you perpetuate the story?
In our different exhibits, in our 1627 English Village, it's 1627, so it's not a day of Thanksgiving. So they will see us doing the ordinary work of a Thursday in November. But in our visitor center, there are several different meals, and all turkey dinners, that are available. We have a themed 17th century recipe-based harvest dinner. There's also a turkey buffet that's open all day long. And we also have what's called the All-American Thanksgiving, which is a 19th century-based menu with mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce and creamed onions and apple pie, most of those things not being at the 1621 celebration.
So what you've done is you've walked the fine line, giving people what they want and still giving them the truth as historians.
Yeah, exactly. So we give them that. And we also have our Wampanoag home site. So there are Native people there. And there are many Native people in New England, especially, who feel Thanksgiving is a national day of mourning, that it marks the beginning of the end of their traditional way of life and in some cases, outright genocide.
Wow. We have a hard time with the truth sometimes, don't we?
Well, and there are lots of ways of looking at things. So sometimes there's more than one truth. But sometimes it's not pretty.
We've certainly loved to embrace the image of the traditional Thanksgiving where we sat down in good fellowship with the Native Americans.
And that's actually a wonderful, and that is absolutely true for 1621, but after the 1630s, I mean, that just begins to erode, and that begins to disappear very quickly. With the Great Migration, especially between 1630 and 1640, the English population of New England quadruples and begins to outnumber the native people, and that's when the problems, you know, that's when there were real problems. So there is this moment of peace in 1621, but it's because there are, it's a small number of English people, and so they don't have that impact they're soon going to have on the landscape and on the people who live there.
Now, for our listeners today, what's the main message you would like them to take home on this Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, I think days of Thanksgiving don't need to be limited to the fourth Thursday in November. I think we should find ways to be thankful for what we have on all of the occasions. That's a very Puritan ideal, that we should celebrate the occasion and not just the anniversary of it. So we need to find more Thanksgivings in our lives.
Thanks to Kathleen Wall for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.